The following episode may contain inappropriate material. Listener discretion is advised.
You're listening to the PVD Cast with John Orlando.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another installment of the PVD Cast. I am your humble host and your podcast purveyor, John Orlando, and welcome to episode number 540. I hope all is well with you out there, and thank you very much for checking out this edition of the PVD Cast. Well, it's been a couple of weeks since the WWE presented the Summertime Spectacular SummerSlam. So it's time for myself and my good friend Ringside Rand to sit down and analyze what went down at this PLE. So we're going to recap the event. We're going to talk about some of the results that happened. We're going to check our predictions that we made a couple of weeks ago. And we're even going to talk about some of the fallout, the future storylines, the future angles that are going to be happening over the next few weeks and months in WWE land. There's some pretty interesting ones too, but before we get into that there real quickly, I want to thank a couple of sponsors. First off, we've got to thank the old school sponsor. Of course, I'm talking about World's Greatest Comics. They're located at 5974 Westerville Road in Westerville, Ohio. They have tons of comics from every era, the golden, silver, bronze, and modern era. They also have graphic novels, toys, back issues, comic book supplies, and everything you need for your fandom. So stop by the store and say hi to the fine folks of World's Greatest. And you can also check them out online. Their website is wgcomics.com. And they're pretty active on the Facebook page. Just search for @WGComics. Now let's move on to our newest sponsor. Of course, I'm talking about Courtney 614 Deals. Everyone loves getting a good deal. It doesn't matter your age, your gender, your religious affiliation. It doesn't matter. We all enjoy getting deals, and Courtney 614 Deals has all types of deals on items such as health and beauty, clothing, home decor, and much, much more. Courtney can simply be found on all those reselling sites like eBay, Whatnot, Poshmark, and many others. Simply just go to her IG, which is, of course, Courtney 614 Deals. It's spelled Courtney 614 Deals. And there you can find out on all the products she has available and where you can find them and how much they are and all that jazz. And if you make a purchase, please let Courtney know that you heard about her endeavors right here at the PVD Cast. All right, that being said, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to throw it to a quick break. And on the other side of the break, you're going to hear my conversation with Ringside Rand as we analyze SummerSlam. All right, ladies and gentlemen, sitting down here with Ringside Rand. Rand, how you doing?
I am good. I am here as the representative of the firm of Sits, Waits, and Doolittle.
So why do I have a legal representation?
I didn't say legal.
Oh, okay.
I'm just here as the representative of the firm Sits, Waits, and Doolittle. And our motto is, we are what we say.
How's life in the Golden Ghetto?
When the power comes back on, it'll be much better.
Yeah, for those folks that don't know, I mean, it's been all over. Heck, we've even made, like, national news because, like, the car that flipped over on the interstate, that was on last night. We've had some wicked weather here in Ohio, in Columbus, Ohio. And so certain parts of the city does not have power, and that sucks. But you said they're probably going to have it ready to go here soon.
We were given the original estimate of Friday noon. Okay. We were giving that on Tuesday morning. Now the latest update estimate is Wednesday night at 10.
Okay.
we'll have to wait and see. Fingers crossed, man. Fingers crossed.
I'm annoyed at all my neighbors who had the forethought to get generators.
Yeah, but that...
There's some serious noise.
Well, my point of that is, and boy, we're way off topic already. Sorry, folks. But my point about that is, I think for the cost, like, you got to register. Like, for me, like, I've lost power 3 times in this house. I don't think that means I need to go and get a generator.
Over how many years?
19.
That's pretty good ads. Pretty good odds.
Yeah. So now my brother lives in North Carolina, and he's constantly losing power.
Western North Carolina?
No, Eastern.
Okay.
Madison is the name of the city right outside Greensboro.
Okay. So probably...
It makes sense for him to have one because he uses it a lot.
Yes.
So...
My wife will tell you that we are the first people to lose power and the last ones to get it back. Because we're just that lucky.
We have to talk about SummerSlam because we did not do that last week because I had another guest already scheduled. So it's time for us to review what went on both nights of SummerSlam. And hopefully I don't call it Survivor Series because, you know me, that's what I always end up doing on this edition. But... Let's talk about how we're going to operate here. First off, we're going to go through and take a look at some of our predictions and try to see who indeed predicted the winners.
I'm not going to say anything, but I feel pretty darn good about my prognostications.
Yes. So anyways, we're going to rate those matches, by the way, in a body slam method, meaning that if it's a great match, we're going to give it 5 body slams. If it's an awful match, it's getting 1 body slam. And we'll even talk about what's happening coming out of SummerSlam in terms of new storylines and whatnot. So let's start off, Rand. Overall, how many body slams would you give both nights, both night one and night two?
I'm beginning to think that we don't need two-day pay-per-views. Because a lot of these matches I felt could have been Raws and SmackDowns. I'm going to wind up the whole weekend being a 2.5 to a 3.
Okay. All right. I'm going to be honest with you. I'm a little shocked by that. I'm going to say that I thought that this was probably one of the better SummerSlams we've had in a while. Okay. In fact, I'm going to say that I really enjoyed it. There are some things that I wish... were done differently, but I'm going to give it 4 body slams because I think it was really good in regards to the surprises, in regards to the matches, in regards to the build. The build for many of these matches haven't been that bad either, so...
Maybe we should have the listeners call in at the end of the show.
Like they did on Donahue?
Phil Donahue invented that.
I know. That's why I threw
that
out.
From Dayton, Ohio, by the way.
Yeah. And if you don't know who Phil Donahue is, YouTube it, folks. He was the precursor to, like, all the talk shows, the afternoon talk shows.
He was an afternoon talk show, Middle America, Dayton, Ohio. Went to Notre Dame, married Marlo Thomas.
Oh, that's right. I forgot about that.
He got that girl.
Yes, he did.
By the way, look her up. And one day, he was asking questions of the studio audience. And a woman raised her hand, and he gave her the microphone, and it was impromptu. But now, any show you watch, Springer, Maury, Caramo, any talk show, now has a segment where people get questions from the audience.
Huh. Well, there you go. Well, let's go ahead and start off night one. Let's start it off with the first match, which was Io Sky taking on Liv Morgan for the WWE Women's Championship. I got to say that I liked the sunset flip powerbomb to the floor. I thought that was a great move. You know, Raquel and Roxanne interfered. I did like the actual finish, though. I thought it was good, even though I did write down how many finishes are we going to have.
You cheapened... finishes when people keep kicking out of them.
They
have to mean something at some point.
I agree. But even with that, that's the only big flaw that I can say with this match. I still gave it 4.5 body slams because for a women's match and the first match out of the gate, those ladies did a damn good job.
You know, it kind of makes me wonder how can somebody have a title and only have one defense in 2 or 3 months?
Well, and then they brought that up on the following night, Raw, because we had the return of Becky Lynch.
And
Stephanie Vickery. And that was brought up in the promo with the Judgment Day. So I think that they're setting things up for a pretty interesting storyline for Liv. Because I think Liv is going to have to run the gauntlet, so to speak, of not just Becky Lynch, but also Stephanie Vickery.
And I think Sol Ruka is involved too.
Yeah, I think so. I think that they're priming her to have that kind of friction with Becky Lynch. I'm not sold on Sol Ruka. I think last time I expressed my unenthusiasm for the character.
She was taken off TV for a while, so maybe there's a reason. Either injury or they want to keep developing her.
I think they should keep developing her. But how many body slams, Rand?
Trying to find my notes. I gave it 4, which is one of the best of the weekend.
Okay. You did pick Liv Morgan to win. I picked Io Sky. So you got one correct there in terms of our predictions.
Get used to that, kids.
Well, our next matchup after the women's match was the 6-man tag team match, where we had LA Knight, Solo Sikoa, and
Royce Keyes.
Yes, Royce Keyes. I almost called him Powerhouse Hobbs, and I stopped myself. I was going to try to call him his proper name. Taking on, of course, the Bloodline, which is Jacob Fatu and the Usos. I'm going to let you go first. What were your thoughts on the match?
I think I picked it correctly that LA Knight would get the pin. I gave it 3.5. I'm not sure how much longer the Bloodline storyline can go on. It seems like the Usos and LA Knight, have been treading water for a while.
Yeah, I think the babyfaces went over. I mean, they attempted to get Keys over, which I think they did okay with that.
But then they killed him right after that.
Yeah, I was just going to say they killed him with that attack, which happened, I believe, on Raw, right? Or SmackDown? It was on Raw, okay. And yeah, so which they're going to do that to somebody else that we'll talk about here momentarily. I don't know. I thought that the match itself, 3 body slams, I gave it. I think though, at least it was just a right around 10 minutes, because I think it had the opportunity to maybe go a little bit long. Yeah, I agree with you, because now I will say this. I do think that they are floundering with this Bloodline storyline. And yes, I know on Raw two nights ago, they talked about where Solo was defeated by Jey Uso, and Jey Uso is going to present Solo to Roman Reigns. Now, I don't know where that's going to go. I hope it doesn't go in a ridiculous like storyline, but anything's possible. But I do give Solo this. I give him credit for trying to be a little more comical.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I think that his character needs a new coat of paint. And I think that this little bit of like ha-ha comedy is right where it should be and right where it's going to help him.
So are we going to have a larger version of the Bloodline?
I don't know, because we're looking at 5 right now, and I'm not even counting the Tongans over there on SmackDown.
Well, we've lost a couple.
Yeah.
Of second, third wing.
Yeah, the B squad.
Clearly the B squad. But yeah. Somebody has to take the pinfall.
True, true.
And for a long time, it was Solo Sikoa.
Mm-hmm.
He took probably 10 in a row whenever they had matches.
Yeah.
But it pays the same.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's see. Did you pick the baby faces? You did pick the baby faces to go over. All right. So that's 2-0 so Ooh. Far. Let's see. 1 and 2. As I'm marking them off on my list.
I think I even picked LA Knight to make the tag.
I think that you did. I didn't document that, but I think that you did. Oh, you documented it. Okay.
Oh, yeah.
You take very thorough notes.
Well, I'm trying to put the research boys out of business so we can get money back into catering.
All right, our next match. Nick Aldis taking on Gunther. I think this was a very good match, but what's the point?
He's got to keep Gunther looking strong beating up Nick Aldis, who, by the way, a lot of people don't realize, been a world champion in other organizations.
Mm-hmm.
He's physically imposing. He's got a good look. He works well. Gunther's got a strange body type.
He does. He does.
He looks like somebody that would be working down at the mill.
But I think that's like a throwback to the 70s and the 60s where, you know, you look at some
Stan
of our...
Stan Hansen.
Stan Hansen, not a great body. Harley Race, not a great body. You know, Jake the Snake Roberts, not a great body, but they could work.
Jake was, for a short period, the greatest villain.
Oh, yeah.
That voice.
Oh, yeah.
The psychology, the mm-hmm. snake. He had a good look, and that snake scared a lot of people.
Mm-hmm.
But Jake could actually work.
Oh, yeah. He was a good worker.
Man, that voice and the psychology.
And his promos were off the charts.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I just think we need to keep working on Gunther. I think he needs to develop some more.
Well, he gets the win. But, again, my point is...
It was hard fought.
It was hard fought. It told a good story. But was it a story we really needed? Like, could we not just find somebody else for Gunther to pin rather than Nick Aldis?
What does it say when an employee beats up their boss? I mean, I realize Stone Cold did it for a long time, beating up Vince McMahon.
Yes.
It gets you over if your boss is evil. Was Nick Aldis a problem
no.
as a GM?
No, he's not a problem as a GM.
So we have an out-of-line heel employee beating up their boss.
Well, and then later, Aldis is going to, I believe it was on night two, he's like reinstated magically.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, I'm like, okay, so...
Well, Nick Aldis got reinstated, too. He got his job back.
Yeah, Nick Aldis, what did I say?
Well, Nick Aldis got reinstated.
Yeah.
But Gunther was suspended until after that match.
Oh, okay, that's right. I forgot all about that.
Which isn't a good sign that we're forgetting key details
I know.
In the story.
I know.
But your point is, what's the point of this?
Exactly. So...
Gunther wins.
Gunther wins. How many body slams did you give it?
I thought it was pretty average. Considering how long it's been since Nick Aldis has worked, I give it a 3.
I gave it 4. I thought that that it held up pretty well, even though, like I said, I didn't like the story behind it. We both picked Gunther, by the way, to win, so that gives us a score of 3-1.
Whoosh.
So... All right, on to the next match, which is the six-woman tag team match. I put down...
interim title.
No. That's on night two. That's
okay.
The ladder match. I'm talking about the six-women match, where you had Paige and the Bella Twins versus Fatal Influence. Is it Fatal Influence or is it Toxic Influence? I don't remember what it is.
I had down Fatal Attraction. Maybe I was thinking Glenn Close and Michael Douglas.
No, there was Fatal Attraction. Well, it's the team of Henley, Reed, and JC Jane. I put down there's hardly any ring time for Paige and Henley.
Hiding the weak links?
Well, especially Paige with that neck injury that, you know, supposedly is healed. I put down that the match went way too long. The heels are over. 2.5 body slams. This match was bleh.
I gave it 2.
Yeah.
And pretty much saw the after match reaction, didn't we? From the Bellas attacking Paige for losing.
Right, which, again, much like Aldis and Gunther, what was the point of this match?
Trying to get the Bellas over as heels?
I guess. They're already over his heels because nobody likes them because they can't wrestle.
But there's two different types of heat. There's the you are horrible at this. You shouldn't be doing it at this level. Then there's the you shouldn't be doing it that way. You're a bad person for doing it. Yeah, this was a good time to go have a beverage.
Oh, and I was right, by the way. I looked at my notes. It is Fatal Attraction. Or Fatal Influence, excuse me. You had me.
That's not a good sign, the fact that we can't know for sure. Certain.
I know, but we both picked the heels to win, so that would give us 4-2. All right. Moving on to the world title matchup between Cody Rhodes and CM Punk. What did you think about this match? I'll let you go first.
I thought it was a really good match. I frequently questioned, should the championship be the last match? Or is the Hell in a Cell going to be the last match?
Well, I think with the putting the cage down and up, I think it's got to be the last match on the show. But I agree with you. I think
that's a legitimate question.
Yeah, I'm a traditionalist. I think the world title should be the last match, should be the main event always. But in this instance, you can't
because
necessarily.
Of the equipment.
Yeah, you can't really do it. I love the Minnesota North Stars jacket for CM Punk because I'm a hockey nerd. I love that. I felt the pacing was a little bit slow. And I just kind of I felt like when they started picking up the speed that it just kind of they were just going through the motions. I was a little disappointed with this match. I did like that Orton interferes. That's a great finish to the match. I said 3 body slams. It wasn't terrible, but it wasn't great either. I expected more out of those.
There you
two.
Go. And that's going to be something I'm going to say later on. We expected more.
Yep. Absolutely. I agree. I thought this was going to be match of the weekend, to be honest with you.
Going into, I could see that being the, as it should be. Two guys who work together well, frequently, and neither one looked bad for the loss.
No.
Because of the outside interference.
Yes, correct. And Punk, quote, not knowing, quote, what happened. In fact, you know, as we talk about that, Cody and Orton is going to really finish their, I guess you could say, feud, even though they're really not in a feud. But you know what I mean. And I like that on SmackDown, Cody gave that promo, that really heated promo, and talking about it's not about the belt now. It's about personal issues. It's about the fact that you and I need to settle this score. So I really like that. I think that's going to be a great storyline, you know, coming forth over the next few weeks and months.
Are they going to build that up for Survivor Series?
Yeah, that's what I'm wondering. Is
or are they going to rush it to the next pay-per-view?
I don't think they rush it to the next pay-per-view. I think it's going to be Survivor Series.
Good.
Yeah. Now, whether it'll be a War Games or if it'll just be a regular match, I hope it's a regular match.
I'm going to say something that many of the listeners will call in and complain about. I am not a fan of War Games. I think it's silly that you go in there and fight each other for a few minutes. Somebody else comes in, you fight for a few more minutes, and then the match starts. Why not have countouts or somebody lose and still have a winning team?
I like War Games the old way that they used to do it in WCW/the NWA.
Okay.
Where there was the cage had the top. It was just a regular cage. It wasn't oversized like they make it for Survivor Series. I just think I think that they do have done a good job of making it matter, like having a good storyline behind it.
Oh, there's a lot of room for storylines because you have so many people.
Correct.
A doesn't like so-and-so on the other team, back and forth. It's a good way to shuffle the deck.
Yeah. But I hope that it is going to be Cody and Orton one-on-one. We both picked Cody, by the way, so that gives you 5 correct choices.
Yeah.
And me 3.
That's me popping champagne bottles.
we're drinking the Dom Perignon or the Corbel?
Oh, we're going Dom.
Okay. All right.
As many bottles of Dom Perignon as I opened up for a bartender, as a bartender, I think it's time for me to open up one for me.
Hey, wait a minute. Is Corbel like low class champagne?
I don't know.
Oh, okay. You don't know? All right. I didn't know. I the way you reacted, I was like,
I don't know. Dom is perceived Dom Perignon, not Dominic
Mysterio.
Dom is perceived as being special.
In your opinion, it's not?
I haven't been in the bar business in 25 years.
Okay. All right. Okay. All right. All right. But CM Punk ends up getting the victory. I don't think we mentioned that as well. And then that moves us on to our main event of the night. It's Hell in the Cell. It's Brock Lesnar versus Obafemi. I thought this match was pretty decent.
I did too. They didn't really use the cell all that much.
No.
Not everybody needs to go up on top.
Right. Agreed.
And I can't imagine these two monsters getting up on the top.
Well, and then they tear apart, Lesnar tears apart the ring. And I'm not sure, because I didn't really look this up, but
I think Obi missed him.
Yeah, wasn't Obi supposed to powerbomb him on the boards?
And I think when he lands, Brock looks over and sees the boards.
Yeah, I was like, going to say.
Game we missed.
But the finish was pretty decent. I got to give it that. I like the little Undertaker diss that, you know, Lesnar did when he gave him the Oba the pile driver and then you know, covered his arm, crossed his arms, excuse me, and yeah, but like I said, overall I thought it was it's a good way to keep Obafemi strong, even though that we both have lamented about how stupid it's been that Brock can retire and come back in a short span of time.
Pretty sure he retired for good this time.
Yeah, he did. He made it official that he actually is done, and so.
And he had good things to say about Oba.
Yes, he did. Yes, he did. I gave this match 4 body slams.
I gave it 3.5. Maybe it's just I just expected more of these two monsters. When you look at Oba, who does he physically remind you of?
Ahmed Johnson.
That's one of the people I came up with.
Okay.
I came up with Bam Bam Bigelow.
Okay.
I also came up with Big Van Vader.
Oh, a Vader I see more than Bigelow.
Okay.
I say that. Yeah, I can see that. The
problem with Ahmed Johnson is he made an awful lot of botches.
Yes, he was not very good in the ring.
I think he had a great look. I think he had one of my favorite entrance songs, Pearl River Plunge.
Yes.
It's like a 20-second repeating instrumental with some serious drums and bass line in it. And I like that. What are they going to do with Oba now?
Well, let's talk about that. It seems like they're pushing for a Bron Breakker versus Oba Femi match.
See, I was thinking that was something that would brew until next year's WrestleMania.
Well, depending on how they use Heyman in this, because Heyman's been kind of like talking to Bron Breakker backstage and all these little vignettes, depending on how they manipulate Paul, I think you could get Oba versus Bron through the rest of this calendar year and then still have something for Royal Rumble the next year.
Okay.
Or in January, I should say, which technically would be the next year. But yeah, I think that's a possibility. I like the idea of Bron versus Oba. I think that will be a fun, hard-hitting, just two guys knocking the snot out of each other series of matches.
I know on Monday Night Raw, Ron Breakker was distracted thinking about Oba.
Mm-hmm.
Does Oba need a manager or a mouthpiece?
I don't think so. I think he's not the greatest on the mic, but I think he...
Not everybody has to be.
No, he doesn't have to be because he's got the physique, he's got the skills. He doesn't have to be.
He's got a 5 to 10 minute introduction period. And you can tell how over he is based on all the people marching in place.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, he's over with the fans, no doubt.
He's over that way, similar to the Yeet.
Yeah. Yeah. Only it's a little cooler if Oba's thing. I don't get the Yeet thing. But...
I'm too old.
Well. All right. Well, before we get on to night two, ladies and gentlemen, I just want to real quickly thank a great sponsor of the show. That's right. I'm talking about World's Greatest Comics. They got everything you need for your comic book fandom. I mean, whether you're talking single issues, graphic novels, toys, collectibles, hundreds upon hundreds of back issues, they got you covered for your comic book fandom. So if you're in Central Ohio, you need to stop by the store and check them out. They're probably available there. I don't know, you know.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
It depends on the day. But you can find them at 5974 Westerville Road in Westerville, Ohio. And you can also check them out online. WGComics.com is a web address. And they're pretty darn creative and very, very active on their Facebook page. Just go to at WGComics, Ran.
I've heard good things about Facebook. I hope it sticks around.
Yes, the kids love that Facebook now, don't they?
Yeah, those kids and the computers and lasers and all that whatnot.
All right, let's talk about night two of SummerSlam. We get Finn Balor versus Sami Zayn, which Aldis returns, and he adds Gunther to the match.
Whoa!
Which, again, have they done anything with that after this?
We may find out Friday.
Okay. All right.
Stick around, kids.
But you know what? I give him credit. Oldis didn't just put one person in this match.
Not one?
Not one. He puts two in as he the returning Kevin Owens makes his return in this match, which now becomes a four-way dance, so to speak, with...
He's been out 18 months.
Yeah.
Which in wrestling terms means 5 title defenses by Roman Reigns.
Well, it's better than Liv Morgan's one. Oh,
one for 100 days.
Yeah, but anyways, so you know what? I think the setup was pretty good for this, having Aldis add those two. It's great to have the surprise of Kevin Owens returning. Owens is over. He's done a fantastic job of recovering from whatever. He had neck injury,
neck
I believe.
Surgery, yeah.
Definitely, I liked it. I thought it was a decent four-way. I give it 4 body slams because it's a four-way dance.
I went 3.5.
Okay.
So what do they do with Gunther now? He wins one night and loses the next.
Well, that's interesting. You know, you caught me. I'm looking up to see who we agreed would be the winner here. Let's see. Finn Balor. You picked Finn Balor. I picked Finn Balor.
Obviously, we were wrong.
But we were wrong on those, so that doesn't change anything. So, okay, you asked, where do we go with Gunther? I don't know. We got to find something for him to do that's meaningful. And so, a feud with Kevin Owens? But I think they're going to push Kevin and Zayn as a storyline.
I could see, how about Gunther and Big Cass?
Oh, that would be a good one.
They're making Big Cass look good, beating up.
Yeah, but I like that. I like it. The big giant beating up the smaller competitors. I like it. It's kind of a throwback to a Spike Dudley type of angle or whatnot. You know, Mikey Whipwreck, if you will. Yeah, I like what they're doing with Big Cass.
I was really surprised they brought him back.
Well, as we talked the last time, I think maybe some people matured a little bit.
Well, maybe he got rid of 150 pounds of problems.
Maybe, possibly. But yeah, I think Gunther and Big Cass would be awesome. I think, you know, that would be an awesome matchup. Other than that, I mean, do we want to do another LA Knight Gunther run? I say no.
It looks like LA Knight's going after Roman Reigns.
Yeah.
And as much as I like LA Knight, I don't think that's going to work out real well.
Yeah, I agree. I don't know. I don't know why they're so afraid to pull the trigger with LA Knight because he's over. He sells lots of merchandise. He does all the right things.
Makes me the Slim Jim.
Yeah. Our next match is Trick Williams against Baron Corbin for the U.S. title. I don't understand a word that comes out of Little Yachty's mouth.
Agreed.
I don't get this lingo. I don't get it. Kendo stick spot was pretty much botched by Little Yachty. Baron Corbin wins after he puts Little Yachty through a table. This was a SmackDown match.
Yeah.
This didn't deserve to be on this pay-per-view. I gave it 2.5 body slams.
I think you're a little generous. I gave it 2.
Yeah, I maybe was.
But it's not the worst match of the night, though.
It's tied for worst match of the night for me. But we'll get into that in a few minutes.
I'm surprised they brought Baron Corbin back and gave him a title this quick.
I know that I don't know what the heck's going on with that.
I don't remember seeing any bring back Baron signs in the crowd.
No, I don't think anybody really wanted him to return.
And yet somebody important did.
Yep. I mean, that's all we could say is yep.
How about Baron Corbin and Big Cass going at it?
That would be awesome. That would be, I think that might make me, for the first time ever, interested in a Baron Corbin storyline.
You didn't like when he was lucky?
No, I did not like when he was lucky. And therefore the subsequent when he was the bum because he lost all of his money. No, not a fan of Baron Corbin at all.
Time to go get a beverage.
All right, our next match is the women's ladder match for the interim women's championship. The last competitor was Lash Legend, who beat Julia on SmackDown. And I just want to say real quickly, I know I picked Julia, but I'm afraid that they're turning Julia into an LA Knight. Everybody wants to see her wrestle, but she's not picking up the victories.
How long does that work before the crowd becomes disinterested?
I don't know. That's a great question.
Because LA Knight is still interesting.
He is, but I think the window's starting to close on him.
And we've said that for a couple months.
Yep. And I feel the same thing with Julia. I think she came over here with a lot of buzz, and that buzz, clearly she has not been the, what's the word I'm looking for? Focal point. But like, for an example, Stephanie Vaquer has definitely surpassed Julia in terms of popularity in that. And
Stephanie has one of the most interesting finishing moves.
That's true. That everybody loves.
I find it exciting. It's unique and different.
Mm-hmm.
Even Bella's know how to sell it.
Mm-hmm. Well, with this match, there was quite a few botches. And what's your thought real quick before we talk about who wins and our reaction to it? What's your thoughts on the interim championship? Do you think this is something that we're going to see more often? Is it a dumb idea? What do you think?
They should have just called it number one contenders match.
Yeah, they should have instead of interim. I mean, obviously, the next night or the next SmackDown, they make it official that Chelsea Green is, of course, the interim or the actual women's champion because she won the match.
Yes.
Which we both said that she would win. So that gives us 6-3 on our totals.
I kind of like the extra spice they're putting on it with Michael Hayes, where he said she doesn't really deserve it.
Mm-hmm.
Her job is to put people over.
Mm-hmm.
But you know what? If you put people over enough, you have an interesting character, a great look, and you're a good worker, you do deserve it. And the crowd chant at the end of this match was,
"You deserve it.
You deserve it." That was one of the biggest pops of the night.
Mm-hmm.
One of the most agreed upon champion, a winner of the night.
Well, but it wouldn't last long because Chelsea, first of all, she was involved in a tag match on SmackDown. And I'm going to say a controversial statement that people are going to probably take umbrage with. But here,
get ready to answer the phone lines.
Here we go. You have Tiffany Stratton and you have Chelsea Green in the match against the two bozos from Fatal Influence. Who eats the pin? Your champion that you just crowned a few days before, who's supposed to be the little engine that could. She finally did it. She finally reached it. And I know people go, well, it was a tag match, John, so it doesn't matter. Yes, it does. It does matter. It does matter even in a tag match that your champion looks strong. But this is all for naught because, unfortunately, in that tag match, Chelsea Green got injured again. Poor girl.
So we have an interim champion?
Well, let me just explain what I just read before you came over to the Casa de la Orlando to record.
Right here to your Orlando Media Center.
There. Ooh, yeah, that's a good name.
Well, you're welcome.
Thank you.
I'll bill you from the from the firm of Sitz, Waits, and Doolittle.
Okay. All right. Booker T has stated that she needs to work through the injury. Now, let me just tell you what her injury is. It is a broken orbital bone.
That's around your eyeballs, kids.
That holds your eyeball in place in your skull. I don't think that's something you want to piss around with and have somebody work, because all that is going to take is one mishap.
Doesn't take much of a mishap.
No, exactly. So Booker T, you're insane if you think that she should work through it. As of right now, they don't know how bad it is, apparently. But she did post a photo, and of course, I'm talking about Chelsea when I say she. It looks like a really bad black eye. But the extent of the damage is yet to be known. And you got to feel bad for Chelsea Green. She finally gets it. Yeah, worked so hard.
To earn it, to get the crowd appreciation and support, saying, we like you this much.
Yep.
We want to watch your matches, and then have to lose a match quickly,
mm-hmm.
tag match, and to be injured in that tag match, that's some pretty bad luck. That's like,
I know,
that's bad karma.
Yeah. Yeah. But unfortunately, that is the situation that Miss Green finds herself in. I like this ladder match. I gave her 3 body slams.
I gave her 3.5. I'm pretty close to you.
All right. Up next is a match that I was kind of looking forward to, because I love Danhausen, and it's Danhausen versus Dominic Mysterio.
I'll be back. I'm going to go get a beverage.
You did not like this match.
I think Dominic was completely disinterested, didn't want to be there. How is this guy the mega champion of AAA luchadors, somebody that you should be building for a long-term top-tier position? Maybe just Danhausen needs something to play with for a short period of time. I understand Danhausen cursing people.
Okay.
And I kind of like the magic and the kids and the...
The kids? You mean the small people?
Well, I'm talking about the kids in the audience.
Oh, okay, okay. I thought you meant the small people or the mini, Danhausens.
No. I understand Danhausen making media appearances, putting curses on people, spreading into the mainstream. I get that. But if this was a serious match... And I'll put a dollar in the logic bucket for this one, kids.
Okay, I got to say, I took this with a grain of salt because I knew it was going to be Danhausen. I knew it was not going to make sense. I knew it was ridiculous. Human money's on a pole match. But I enjoyed it so much that I gave it 3.5 body slams.
Saw it for what it was.
Yeah, I knew it wasn't going to be a 5-star classic. I didn't overlook it in terms of like you did. With the AAA Mega Championship, because they keep mentioning that, but yet we don't see him defending that, only on AAA, which I don't tune into.
How do you even find it in Columbus, Ohio?
It's on you. You got to go to the WWE YouTube channel,
and you can get a subscription to that.
No, I believe it's free.
Oh, well,
so
hard to believe I can actually watch wrestling without a subscription.
Well, you know what? While we're here, real quick, let's wrap up. Danhausen is victorious. He handed out Danhausen money, which I thought was kind of funny. We forgot that Joe Hendry got involved in it. JD McDonough got involved in it. The Minis got involved in it. Like I said, it was just stupid fun.
They opened up the clown car and they all ran out.
Yep, absolutely. Well, while we're talking about Dom in the AAA Mega Championship, I got to tell you something. I like what they're doing on Raw with the Luchador tournament.
Oh, I do too.
I mean, you're getting a look at different people. It's intriguing. They're going to take on Roman Reigns. We all know that they're not going to win. But it'll be an interesting match. It'll be something different.
I like the fact that they have high flyers.
Yeah.
I don't care about the mask and the tradition. But if you turn off the sound, you can watch these matches, and you got no idea what's going to happen next.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's a lot of fun.
It is. This past Monday, we had, what was their opener? It was Laredo Kid versus...
Penta?
Yes, against Penta, and that was a very good match. I mean, you're right. When you watch a luchador match, much like I said with Danhausen's match, you're going to get a lot of high-flying, high-octane... The psychology is quite different, but that's okay because, as you said, you can write it off as, hey, this is the history. This is how they've always done it for decades. And so we should be respectful of that. I like it. I cannot wait to see who comes out of it. I mean, it's going to be a heck of a tournament for sure.
It might be Penta.
I'm thinking that it is. I think that if I was a betting man, I'm going to put my money on it.
Penta's extremely over.
Yeah, and I think this is my prediction. I'm thinking it's going to be Penta versus his brother, Rey Fénix.
That would be interesting.
Yeah, so, but anyway, I love it. Give me more of that. Awesome stuff. Well, give me more of that. Our next match is actually fulfilling that request as we have Chad Gable taking on Penta for the Intercontinental Championship.
What was it, like 2 months ago when we made this prediction? It seems like we've been disrupted. And this was my solid 100% Chad Gable's going to win. It was a great match. It was extremely emotional in his hometown, and he gets the win. And I thought it was one of the great matches. It's the end of the Chad Gable redemption tour.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
He went, kind of made fun of luchadors.
Mm-hmm.
Loses his mask in Mexico City, I believe.
Yep, correct.
And has been apologizing and acknowledging how good luchadors are.
Mm-hmm.
And he fits right in with them. He's a great performer.
I put down this as match of the night or match of the weekend.
I can see that. I gave it 4.
I gave it 5. I liked it. you know, I think it was a fantastic match. It told the great story. Gable going over in his hometown.
And, you know, he gets over. They celebrate with his family. And you know exactly what I'm going to say. They bring a root beer drinking dog into the crowd, into the ring. Product placement, was it Mug's Root Beer?
It was Mug's Root Beer. I honestly, to be honest with you, my wife and I thought it was going to be a sneak attack. I thought it was somebody dressed up in the, as the mascot, and they were going to jump him.
Would have been great if it had been Dominic Mysterio.
Well, or if it was El Grande Americano.
Oh.
But no, it's just a random mascot.
It just seems so cheesy.
Yeah.
It'd be one thing if he was outside the ring and he raised his paw on the ramp.
You know what? It would have been even better, Rand, if, I don't know, through the weekend we had him show up more than just once. Like, you know what I mean? Like, yeah. he, you know, it's not like they could have pitched to the talking heads, you know, the Jackie Redmond in the panel, and then, oh, here's the Mug Root Beer dog. And then in between matches on night one, they could have done it again. I mean, just having him show up randomly for no reason whatsoever.
So does Chad Gable get the IC title in the case of Mug's Root Beer?
Maybe. Maybe we'll get a new Intercontinental belt that has the Mug's Root Beer logo on it. A
couple scoops of ice cream with that.
Yeah. All right. Main event time. It is Seth freaking Rollins versus Roman Reigns. I have a question, and it has nothing to do with this match, but do you think Alicia Taylor wears wigs? Because her hair, there's no way that hair is 100% au naturel.
I don't think it gets through the airport either.
Yeah, I mean, that actually, I believe, is a conversation my wife and I also had about that. It's like, what's going on with that hair?
It gets attention.
I guess so. But, okay, we talked about it. The crowd was into this.
Yes.
The build was okay, but again, I think you agree with me. Who cares?
How many times can we care about the same?
Exactly. Exactly.
But I also remember, roughly 10 years ago, Randy Orton and John Cena had pay-per-view matches like 5 months in a row.
Oh, yes, I do remember that as well.
And you don't remember it fondly.
No.
Which is our point.
Mm-hmm.
I thought it was a really good match, and I'm glad that there wasn't outside interference.
Okay, I'll give you that. I don't think it was a very good match. I think it was very middle of the road. I gave it 3 body slams because I think it was too many false finishes. Too long. Stop with the, like, we're laying on the mat. I'm going to beat you. Like, stop with that. Nobody cares. I started this, the Shield, whatever the crap they were talking. I'm like, just enough. Although I did like Seth's gear giving a little heads up to Buzz Lightyear.
I want people to stop thinking that Jon Moxley's going to run in.
Yeah, folks, he's
that ship has sailed. He and his wife are employed elsewhere.
Yeah, exactly. And
it'd be nice.
Nah, I don't know. Would it?
It would rock the industry, but it's not going to happen.
It's not going to happen, and I don't even know if it would rock the industry, to be honest with you, Rand. But all right, well, that concludes SummerSlam. Now, there is just one other thing that I would like to mention real quick that we didn't talk about in terms of future storylines. We talked about Cody and Orton, but we didn't talk about Punk and KO and maybe Sami Zayn in that storyline somehow. What are your thoughts on that future storyline?
I think we're going to see Punk take a little bit of time off.
I think that's probably a smart decision. Yes, I think that you are correct. We have
very few people wrestling every night.
That's true.
For every show.
That's true.
Prolongs careers.
Mm-hmm.
And like when KO returned after 18 months, we were excited.
Yeah.
We don't see the same cookie cutter
mm-hmm.
show every week.
Mm-hmm.
We had a lot of luchadors.
Yeah, this past week on Monday Night Raw, we had another luchador match that had nothing to do with the tournament, but still Dragon Lee and Dominic Mysterio.
And sometimes we have those guys, and sometimes we have the big, strong guys.
Right.
And the show should have variety.
Well, I'd be interested to see how they work those three into a storyline because obviously, you know, with the returning KO, he's got something to prove. Sami Zayn, they're playing that whole, you know, are they friends, are they not friends? And, of course, you got Punk, who's always game for a good match, except for against Cody on this pay-per-view. But I digress.
I'm amazed at how over Punk is.
Still.
I was in a store the other day, and I heard Living Color come on. And I hate to say, my first thought was CM Punk, not Ferdinand Reed, how good his guitar is.
Yeah, yeah. Did you go down on one knee and then yell in the aisle, it's clobbering time!
My wife ran. She came around the corner. She's skipping like AJ Lee. This is what you get for not going to Aldi's on the corner of Tremont and Northwest Boulevard.
There you go. All right. Well, Rand, anything else you want to talk about real quick before we have to wrap things up?
I hope I have electricity when I go home.
Yeah, I hope so, too. And you know what? If you're somebody that is in the Midwest that was suffered losses, you know, hopefully not of life, but of your material items and whatnot, we're thinking about you. It's happening here in Columbus, Ohio. It happened here in Columbus, Ohio, I should say. So stay safe out there, and hopefully you can get life back to normal, quote unquote.
We are extremely lucky. Two blocks away, it looked like a tornado went through.
Yeah.
Tornado went through. And we're not talking about Kerry Von Erich, the Texas tornado.
No, no. All right, with that then, Rand, where can folks find you on the internet or anything to plug real quick?
I'm becoming a partner at Sits, Waits, and Doolittle.
Okay.
That's just part of my retirement.
All right. Well, with that, Rand, thanks for chatting with me, man.
Happy to do it.
All right. With that, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to throw it to a quick break. And on the other side of the break, I'll be back to wrap up the episode.
Well, there you have it, ladies and gentlemen. My conversation with Ringside Rand talking about the WWE spectacle known as SummerSlam. And I hope that you enjoyed this episode, and maybe you did, and maybe you have a few questions about it. Well, let me tell you how you can get in touch with me. First of all, you can shoot me an email if you like. JohnOrlando@pvdcast.com is the email address. You can also drop me a line over on Facebook, Instagram, or Threads, just look for @PVDcast. And I'm still on Twitter. I don't know why. Well, I can tell you why. I'm lazy. I don't want to move all my contacts over. But nonetheless, I'm also on Twitter still. My personal Twitter handle is @PVDMVP. Maybe you want to let some folks know about where they can hear the show. Well, there's a couple different avenues for that as well. First, PVDcast.com is the online home of yours truly, and probably the best place to get every single new episode. The PVDcast is also available through all those podcasting outlets and apps. All you have to do is go to your favorite outlet or app, put into the search bar PVDcast. Sometimes you have to put my name after it, and you should find it. And if indeed you are listening through one of those outlets or apps, please do me a favor, rate and review it. It pushes me up in the algorithm, and it lets those fine outlets and apps know that you're listening. And while you're doing that, go ahead and subscribe so that you never miss an episode of the PVDcast. But alas, there is one final way in which you can catch every single new episode. That is on Wednesday nights at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. I do a live Facebook broadcast through the Facebook page. Again, that's @PVDcast. So there you have it, three easy ways to catch the show, pvdcast.com, through your favorite podcasting outlet or app, and of course, through the Facebook page, @PVDcast, every Wednesday night at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for the weekly live broadcast. All right, that being said, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to get on out of here. I want to thank you for checking out the episode, and I will chat at each and every one of you later. Stay righteous, stay independent, and stay safe and healthy. been a presentation of John Orlando Enterprises, LLC, copyright 2026.